Good morning, brother and sister. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our eyes this morning so that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the law, and open our ear that we can hear, and put what we learn into practice, so that we be blessed and not be judged by you, and be blessed by you all the days of our life. Hear our prayer, listen to our cry for mercy, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's the name of the title of this sermon? Hannah, do the right thing in God's sight, right? I didn't say do the right thing. I didn't say do the right thing in man's sight. I say do the right thing in God's sight. And that's the reason for that. And Judah, he think he did the right thing in man's sight, right? And he judges. He judges his daughter-in-law. He himself end up being judged, right? So, brother and sister, when we read the scripture, make sure we do the right thing in God's sight. Okay, now take a look at what's the right thing in God's sight. What if I don't do the right thing in God's sight? Then what will happen? I want to talk about Ur, the firstborn of Judah, because the Bible say he he was wicked in verse 7. Ur, the firstborn, Judah firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight. So the Lord put him to death. So you do the right thing in God's sight, you get the blessing. But you do the wrong thing, you do the wicked thing in God's sight, just like Judah firstborn, Ur, was put to death. Was put to death not by man. He was put to death by the Lord. Okay? And now take a look at the second person. His brother in verse 8. Right after the firstborn was put to death by the Lord, and Judah said to Onan, lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother. What his father said to him is the right thing. And he did it, but he didn't do it with eagerness. He didn't do it willingly. He did it unwillingly. And in man's sight, he's okay because he did marry his sister-in-law. But take a look in verse 9. But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground. Spilled his semen on the ground, you write that down. He did the wicked thing in God's sight. Nobody knows. You know who knows? He himself know that. Onan know that. And his brother's wife know that, but his brother's wife didn't complain about that. It didn't slander him. Okay, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. So in verse 10, what he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death also. Brother and sister, there are also there are always a consequence of what we have done. We make that decision, we have to face the consequences. If maybe you did think in man's sight, what you did is good in man's sight, but doesn't mean that you are good. But if you do good in the Lord's sight, then you will be richly blessed later on in your life. And I wanted to mention that in verse 38, in verse 7, and chapter 38, verse 10, the Lord judged these two, firstborn and secondborn, right away. Most of the time, the Lord will not judge right away. But because he judged right away, is to let us know a few lessons that we want to learn. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 18. The wicked become a ransom for the righteous. The unfaithful become a ransom for the upright. Right beside 21:18, you write down two names, Ur and Onan. These two are the wicked one and the unfaithful one. The unfaithful one and the wicked one become the ransom for the righteous, become the ransom for the upright. In other words, God allowed this, God assigned Moses to write this, this story in Genesis chapter 38, is to teach us, teach you and me, that God allowed these two people to die right away so as to ransom us. We don't want to learn from them. If we do the same thing, we will be put to death by the Lord. That is what it really means. The wicked Ur, the wicked Onan, become a ransom for the righteous. The unfaithful Onan listened to his father but didn't do the right thing. And his father didn't know that, but God knows that. And that become a ransom for the upright. God wants us to learn the lesson. Do not follow their footsteps. I want also you to write down Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. When the sentence for a crime, you write down 38 Genesis, verse 7. What's the crime? The firstborn, Ur, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death right away. And then same as the second son, Onan, the Lord put him to death. And just a little bit longer, because the Bible say every time he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. He didn't do it once. He do it numerous times. And the Lord realized that person will not be changed. So he put him to death. Now, I want you to know Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out. But whereas in here, in chapter 38, verse 7, it's carried out right away. And chapter 38, verse 10, carried out later on, not right away, later on, okay, numerous times. And now, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the heart of the people are filled with scheme to do wrong. And people realize, oh, the Lord will not do that. Then I can follow them and do the wicked thing. Lo and behold, all of a sudden, we are struck dead. That's the thing that we have to learn. Because you do not know when will the Lord judge us. Okay? So make sure we ask God to help us to do the right thing in God's sight. Now, let me take a look at what's the right thing. I want you to write that down. Goes to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hand. But no man knows whether love or hate await him. So I changed these Bible verses to put instead a pronoun there, I put the name of the person there so that helped you to understand. So chapter 9, verse 1, Ecclesiastic. So I reflect on the Genesis chapter 38 and concluded that Tamar, the righteous, Tamar, the wise, and what she does is in God's hand. But she doesn't know whether love or hate awaits her. And I'm saying that what Tamar doing is righteous. What Tamar's doing was wise. What Tamar's doing is in God's hand. It is God who leading her to do this. And I want to prove it to you how God leading her hand to do the right thing. Remember, the firstborn, the secondborn was put to death by the Lord. Let's hear what Judah say. Verse 11. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, the third son may die too, just like his brother. So Tamar went to live in her father's house. She lived in her father's house at the instruction of her father-in-law. But her father-in-law has no intention whatsoever. Has no intention. He's lying. He gave a false testimony. But she didn't know that he lied. And then in verse 12, she realized he lied. After a long time, Judah's wife and the daughter of Shelah died. When Judah has recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah and to the men who were shearing his sheep and his friend Harah, the Adullamite went with him. Judah didn't even have a good friend, you know. When he found a prostitute, his friend did not stop him. Okay? Verse 13. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on the way to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow clothes and covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah, for she saw that though Shelah has now grown up, she has not been given him as his wife. So in other words, Judah lied, gave a false testimony to Timnah. his daughter-in-law. Judah could have said, "You go and marry someone else. I have no intention to give my third son to you." Looks like Judah did the right thing, right? In man's sight, but not do the right thing in God's sight. Let's talk about Judah. Judah did the right thing in verse 6. Okay. In verse 8, Judah said to Onan, "Lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother." Saying this, making this testimony, is the right thing. But when I want you to write that down, okay? This is the right thing to do. Chapter 38, verse 8, you write down Ecclesiastic, chapter 9. Ecclesiastic, chapter 9, verse 1. And then I change that wording too. So I reflect on all this and concluded that Judah was righteous. Judah was wise. And what Judah did is in God's hand. But Judah didn't know that. When he asked his second son to marry his brother's wife and fulfill his duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother, this is the right thing. And I think this is the Lord who moved Judah to say that. But Judah didn't realize that. And then in chapter 9, verse 1, Ecclesiastic, but Judah did not know that hate awaited him because his second son was put to death. Brother and sister, Onan was put to death because of his own wickedness. Has nothing to do with fulfilling the duty. You understand what I'm trying to say? And Judah being superstition, first one is put to death. Second one put to death. Oh, that one, you know. That Timna is not really a good daughter-in-law. Right? What do we learn from this lesson? When you do God instruction, you listen to God advice, you have to do it until the end. I want you to write that down. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction. The Bible says, in the end, you will be wise. He didn't do it to the end. When he see that hate waited him, the thing that he didn't like waited him. He didn't want his first son to be put to death, right? His first son was put to death because of his own wickedness. Has nothing to do with Timnah. The second son was put to death, has nothing to do with Timnah either, also. Because of his selfishness. He didn't do the right thing in God's sight. You know what? Sometimes we learn from Judah. We do the right thing. We find out that we don't get a good result. So what happened? We change our mind. I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to listen to God's advice and accept instruction. And I just want to act like a fool and to do my own thing. Emily, do you understand what I'm trying to say? When you do it, when you do God's word, you do it to the end, okay? Then you are righteous because you know that all you do is in God's hand. Is God leading you to say that? If God leading you to say that, all you have to do is think about why this kind of thing happened. What do I learn from this mistake? Then you change accordingly. Instead of lying to your daughter-in-law, saying to her, "Go to your father's house, and then wait until my third son grows older, and then I'm going to let you to marry him," right? Don't lie to that. Because he has no intention to do that. That's why he sent him home. He could have said, you go and marry another one, right? I don't want, you know what? If he say you go and marry another one, that means everybody in God, in every man's sight, Judah is a wicked man too, right? Because you are not looking after your daughter-in-law, right? You don't even looking after your two sons. The two sons pass away. Brother and sister, I want you to listen. Do you know what happened later on? And I think Timnah, the daughter-in-law, Tamar pretended herself to be a prostitute. I think she is in God's hand. Okay? And God gave her the wisdom. You know what the Bible say? God did not judge her. You know who judged her? The people of Israel, they judge her. You know who judged her? Her father-in-law judged her. I want you to write that down. I read that to you. Go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When people tell Judah, your daughter-in-law become pregnant, being a prostitute, do you know that? In verse 24, 3 months after, about 3 months later, that means around 90 days, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution. But isn't it 3 months ago you are guilty of prostitution also? Right? A lot of the time, brother and sister, when we judge other people, we are self-righteous. We don't even know who we are. Okay? And as a result of being a prostitute, she's now pregnant. You know what Judah said? Right beside verse 24, Judah said, bring her out and have her burned to death. You write that down? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes, when all the time there's a plank in your own eyes? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I also want you to write that down. Gospel of John, chapter 8. I don't know whether you remember. There's an adulterous woman was caught, commit adultery, and bring to Jesus. Chapter 8. I read that to you. Then each went to his own home. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple court where all the people gathered around him. He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they are hypocrites, and brought in a woman caught in adultery. They make her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such person, to stone such woman. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis of accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Right beside this statement in verse 7, you write down Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 5. What Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 5, and Jesus did exactly what he teach. Just like what Amos saying, God's at first, he's going to reveal his plan, his mystery to you, his word to you, and then he's going to execute. He's going to carry it out. He teach you, and he's going to do it. Okay? You know what happened after Jesus said that? Verse 8, again, he stood down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time. The older one first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and live your life of sin." Go now and live your life of sin. That means sin no more. Now I want to go back to Genesis chapter 38. You know what? Because Judah judged Tamar, want to burn her to death. You know what? If she's burned to death, God will not even use his third son to carry on any offspring. He has three sons. He lost two. He tried to save his own family. He tried to save his own offspring against God's word. What is God's word? We as a brother supposed to love our own brother, to keep your brother's name so that your brother's name will not be erased. Make sure that your brother has offspring. But when he found out that harm come to me, he changed his mind. He's not going to do God's will. He didn't know that it is God who leading, is it God who leading him to make that decision. You just persevere. Do not give up. And you will see the good result. Isn't that what Bible say? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction. The Bible say, not right away. The Bible say, In the end, you will be wise. What do you mean by in the end? In the end is your daughter-in-law going to give you a twin boy and carry on your offspring. Don't you know? You don't know. You know what? I'm going to talk about his third son. What should we do in a lesson like this? What's the name of his third son in verse 5? The third son is Shelah. Third son is grow older now. His father tried to protect him not to marry Tamar, right? When you grow older, you know the right thing to do. You're going to say to your father, "Father, I'm older now. I should marry this woman to fulfill my duty to my brother and to her," right? You know what happened? I want you to go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. Judah, the father of Perez and Sarah, whose mother was Tamar. What's the name? Where's the name of the third son? You don't do the right thing? You think your father is protecting you? Your father is not protecting you. Your father is ruining your life. You understand what I mean? The Lord is supposed to bless the third son. Okay? Through Tamar. Brother and sister, what is the name of the title of this sermon? Do the right thing in God's sight. Don't ever say that, oh, I obey my father. My father asked me not to do that. I just not carrying out my own duty. There's no excuse, right, Moses? You know this is the right thing to do. Doesn't matter what the father and what the mother say. You first of all discuss with him. So this is the right thing to do. This is what God requires of us to do the right thing. And besides, I love my brother. You know what happened? He lost two sons. He kept the last one. But God did not use the last one to reproduce on behalf of Judah. God used Tamar to give a twin boy. You know what? You know what's the possibility? You just lie with that man and you become pregnant? It is the Lord who enabled her to do it because she is righteous in God's sight. She believed in her father-in-law and go to her father's house to become a widow and wait for you to take me back. And you don't. And God moved her to do the right thing. You know what? Tamar didn't go to the third son. If he go to the third son, he may be put to death. Right? He go to the father, the one who judged her. And later on, you know what the father say? The father-in-law say, I read that to you. Verse 26, Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I. That means, you write that down, Psalm 32, verse 5. That means she confessed her sin before the Lord. Okay, since I would not give her to my son Shelah, to make known to the whole world, I am the wicked one. I am the one who against God's law. I don't obey God's law because when I face affliction, when I face suffering, I change my mind. I don't want to do God's will. Okay, and then the right thing. Do you remember Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 11? Jesus declared, I do not condemn you. Go now and live your life of sin. You write that down right beside. He did not sleep with her again. Because is it wrong for a father-in-law to sleep with your daughter-in-law, according to Leviticus? It is wrong in chapter 20. Of course, at that time, Moses wasn't even here yet. But we know that in our heart, it is wrong to do that. Okay? Chapter 20, verse 12, if a man sleep with his daughter-in-law, both of them must be put to death. And what they have done is a perversion, and their blood will be on their own head. So, brother and sister, there's no one righteous, not even one. So we better not to judge other people. Now I go back. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Isn't it? Paul say that it is the Lord want me to judge that person who married his father, right? You remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 5? It is the Lord who want Paul to kick him out and put it in the hand of Satan. If the Lord did not say to you what to do, you don't do it. Generally speaking, we should not judge. unless the Lord tell you to do it otherwise. Where did the Bible say? Turn to Psalm 94. Right beside Psalm 94, verse 16 to 18, you link it together. You write that down. 16 to 19, you write that down. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay? The Bible says, who will rise up for me against the wicked? And Paul heard that. So he rise up. Who will take a stand for me against the evildoer? Against the evildoer is to save the evildoer, not to destroy him. Paul is not trying to destroy him. Go back to 1 Corinthians. So brother and sister, if you read just one portion of the Bible, you think you understand, then you did it, and you end up sinning against God. You better be very, very careful as to what to do. Don't judge other people. Okay? You write down chapter 5, verse 5, 1 Corinthians. Hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. The Lord warned Paul to rise up, to speak on the Lord's behalf, to take a stand against the evildoer who married his father's wife. Once you do God's command, you need God's protection. That's God's protection in 17 to 19. Unless the Lord has given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Father and sister, I say that one more time, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. Solomon concluded that if you are the righteous one, if you are the wise one, all you do are in God's hand. You know why? Because we are wicked. Without God's help, without God's hand with us, we can't do the right thing. We don't know what to do. The reason why you are wise, the reason why you are righteous, because God leading you the way to do the right thing, to do things that God will not judge you. You understand? When Judah judged Tamar, Judah is judging God. So he make a fool of himself. You understand? Burn him to death. That means, you know what? Where do I get pregnant from? I get pregnant from you. Right? You are the one who's stopping me to marry your son. And she believed in God's word. She waited for that long. And God say, now's the time to go to do this. So that he make a fool of himself. So why would I preach this? Genesis chapter 38. Because I preached the book of Ruth. Remember that? That unknown person, supposed to be the redeemer of Ruth, the closest redeemer. You know what he say? I cannot redeem her because it will endanger my estate. And then he say that again, I cannot redeem her. You redeem what I supposed to redeem. He passed on the blessing to other people. The elder and all other people say, you know what? This young woman entered into your household. We'll be just like a tamer. Give you blessing, not cursing. Give you a twin boy. Don't you know that? If that man understand the blessing from the elders, 10 elders, and the blessing from all other people, he could have said, okay, I changed my mind. I want to marry her now. You know what the Bible say? He still remains stiff-necked and still don't do it. Right? Did we learn the lesson? We found out this is the blessing. Still don't do it. They want cursing. Brother and sister, when we read the Bible, we know how to get blessing. We know how to get cursing. Okay? Make sure we understand. So where's David? Jean, where's David? Are you a brother keeper of David? According to God's word? Are you? Make sure you bring him in. All right? Because your mother asked me, when you preach, look at David. Did David understand? Now I'm going to ask you. Do you understand what I preached today? Tell me what you learned. Speak louder, please. The microphone is here. I didn't just say it like that. What about Psalm 94? What about 1 Corinthians chapter 8? So that's why, you know. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, in a church, we only remember what we like to remember. We don't have a balanced viewpoint. You understand? What did I say in Psalm 94? 16 to 18. 16, 17, 18, 19, up to 19. What did I say? If the Lord wants you to do that, you have to do it. You cannot escape. I want you to write that down, brother and sister. Psalm 94, 16. I want you to write that down, Jeremiah chapter 1. I want you to write it down, Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 3. Chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3. Whether they listen or not listen, when I command you to say to them, you say to them. And I'm saying that you are not judging other people. I'm saying that you're judging your own brother and sister. So, Jean, what did I say? Are you your brother keeper? Did your brother know that you love him? So that you should say to him, because he knows that you're not trying to curse him, right? Who can rise up against the evildoer? Rise up against the evildoer is to kill the evildoer or to save the evildoer? Psalm 94, verse 16. So you rise up against him. He tried not to come to the church. What are you trying to do? How can we be saved? According to Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from the hearing of the message. We have to hear the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't hear the message, you don't have faith. You don't have faith, you cannot be saved. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And how can you be saved if you don't listen to God's sermon? You think you understand the scripture? You end up judging yourself. You end up not doing God's will. Oh, you don't know that hate and love await you because you don't know that. When it happened, then you say, I know that it will happen. Just like Psalm 94, verse 17, 18, who's going to comfort me? When God send you, God's going to comfort you. When God send you, God's going to protect you. Write that down. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 26. The other person, he preached exactly what Jeremiah preaching, and not be put to death by the king. Because you know what the Bible say? I didn't tell you to preach that. I tell Jeremiah to preach it. I didn't tell you to preach it. You preach exactly what Jeremiah preached, but I didn't ask you to preach it. And that's why he was put to death. Don't use one Bible verses to against another Bible verses and condemn other people. Okay? Before you make any judgment call, you seek advice. 19:20, Proverbs. Listen to advice and accept instruction. When you listen to advice and accept instruction, and when you see the blessing, that means in the end, you will become wise. Don't just be so quick to do that. Wait until you get the blessing. Confirm that. This is what the Lord wants you to do. Okay? So Moses, what did I say? What have you learned today? Accept the blessing of God. I like that too. How do I accept the blessing from God? Follow his plan? Only one time? Every time? All the days of your life? What if you face affliction and difficulty and suffering? Do you persevere? Keep doing it. And don't judge. Unless you be judged. But when the Lord wants you to say something, then should you say that? Just like the third son, if he know he didn't marry his daughter-in-law, he lost the blessing. His name is not in the genealogy of chapter 1 of Matthew. Brother and sister, we don't know what we have lost when we make a decision. We don't know. Because you don't know whether love or hate await before you. We don't know. But we know one thing. If we persevere to the end, if we suffer with Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 17, I'm going to receive glory together with Jesus Christ. I share in his glory if I share in his suffering. Right? You compare the present suffering with the future glory. You say, yes, I can do it. Don't follow that unknown person. No, I cannot redeem it because it will endanger me. We all, you know why we can't do God's will? Because we see the suffering. We see complaint. But we don't know the blessing. We don't even compare the blessing with the present suffering. Then we give up. Is Genesis chapter 30 is a good teaching or a bad teaching? Everybody say, is it good or bad? Is bad? Huh? It's good, eh? You know who helped me then? Of course, God helping me that. Ruth forced me to read that and in detail. We miss so much blessing. If that Pharaoh know that, you do the wicked thing not following God's plan, you only protect your estate. Ignore God's word. You end up not getting blessing. On top of that, you're getting what? You do the wicked thing in the Lord's sight, the Lord will put you to death, just like the first two sons. But the Lord did not carry it out yet. He will carry it out. You understand what I'm trying to say? Make sure when we read the Bible, escape that, escape cursing, and go and receive blessing. Continue to do God's will until the end. And ask God to comfort us, help us to carry out. Because I remember Ecclesiastes, the wise and the righteous, and whatever they do is also in God's hand. Because we are wicked, we cannot be righteous unless God helping me. We are foolish, we cannot be wise unless God instill wisdom into our heart, tell us what to do, right? Then all our way is in God's hand. No one can judge you. Anyone who judges you, he's judging God. Everybody say, then we'll get the blessing. Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word in a great detail and so that we be truly blessed by you all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.